It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know and it's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And there's some news brewing, some whispers going on around the New York Jets. And so my buddy Nick Spano of U Stadium is here to share what he's been hearing from around the league. Nick, what's going on, buddy? How's your Christmas?
Man, it was great. I can't complain. I mean, besides for, you know, an unfortunate past 2 weeks with the Jets. And, you know, it looked funny that it looked more promising 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago when we last talked. And we were, 0-11 or 0-12, and, you know, full steam ahead for Trevor Lawrence. And now here we are on, December 20, I don't even know what day it is, a couple of days before New Year's Eve, and we can kiss the Lawrence dream goodbye. But other than that, I mean, everything's great.
Jaguars did not feel like giving Jets fans a Christmas present this year, so bah humbug to the cons and to Doug Marrone. But there is a lot of news surrounding the Jets regardless. Let's start with the head coach, Adam Gase. There were reports, notably from CBS Sports reporter Jason LaCanfora, who said that had the Jets lost to the Cleveland Browns, Adam Gase would have been let go before the final game. Obviously, the Jets won, so we'll never know if that was true. But one thing that you did hear involves Gase, and for the people that are nervous that he's going to be back, you have a source within the Jets organization, and we'll talk about some other things you heard from him in a bit, but he put your mind at ease.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was in a pit of sorrow on, you know, Sunday, and after realizing, you know, we kind of had a good feeling that it was over last week after the loss to the Rams, and then obviously it was confirmed this week with the win against the Rams, I should say. And it was confirmed with the win over the Browns that the Lawrence dream again was over. So I just reached out basically for my own, I was reaching out expecting some bad news or not a text back at all, but did hear that nothing has changed. You know, the decision was made weeks ago that Gase would be let go after the Patriot game, regardless of any kind of last hurrah in these, you know, final weeks. And you know, what I was told was specifically there's no shot he's back. The decision's made, nothing would change. He knows it. The team has been, working the phone lines with agents of potential coaching candidates for weeks now, and a few garbage wins. While the team may be excited about it, and you know, I guess at the end of the day, not going 0-16 feels a little bit better when we look back on it in 10 years, hopefully. Those wins will not be enough to keep Gase around, thankfully. So that should put everybody a little bit at ease here as we go towards which is probably another very winnable game on Sunday against the Pats.
Another thing that will put Jets fans' minds at ease a little bit is the fact that your source shared another bit of information with you involving Joe Douglas.
Yeah, and that was what I took most, to be honest, out of it was I expected, you know, even the most negative, and everybody listened to it, was feeling negative and pessimistic about the outlook of the team, obviously losing out on Lawrence when, you know, this whole terrible season at the end of the day, that the carrot dangling in front of us was Trevor Lawrence. And then it's pulled out at the last second here with, you know, these terrible wins. I still in the back of my mind kind of figured he was gone, but to get that reassurance was great. And then to have, I guess, the cherry on top was, the same source told me that Douglas is going to be the one leading the search. And ultimately we'll have the final say on who we hire, on who the Jets hire. Christopher Johnson will be involved in the search. You know, he'll sit in on the interviews. He wants to know what Douglas is thinking, what the executives, you know, Douglas's people are thinking, and, you know, what they're looking for in candidates. And I'm sure, you know, based on what I was hearing back, was they're going to cast a pretty wide net. And we spoke about this last time when, you know, I hopped on the podcast, that they're going to interview a lot of people. Wouldn't be surprised if it's like 9, 10, 11 candidates, ranging from college coaches, which we may not even hear about, to, you know, coordinators like Brian Daboll, Wink Martindale, et cetera. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's that many. But, you know, Chris Johnson will sit in on the interviews. We'll have a say in it. But ultimately, this isn't going to be a, you know, Chris Johnson listens to everything and then goes rogue and hires Adam Gase because of Peyton Manning kind of situation here. They have somebody who's, I think, who they realize, I think Christopher Johnson realized he fucked up, you know, with Adam Gase. And that's at least, you know, what we can kind of hang our hat on, was, hey, at least this guy isn't as stubborn as we think he might be, and thinks he knows it all. And the Gase thing was a mistake. I think he knows and trusts that Douglas is well connected. He's personable. He's likable. And he is way better at this than Christopher Johnson and his people are. So they do have the trust in Douglas. And it seems like this will be ultimately the Joe Douglas's first big hire. And I mean, hopefully it's his last hire, right? You know, hopefully the hope is Douglas hires a guy. They're together for the next decade plus, and they draft the right quarterback this year. And, you know, we don't have to root against the Jets anymore in November, December, and January.
Any idea how Woody Johnson factors into this?
I haven't heard anything, man. It's been like, it seems like he's not going to be involved much. Like, from everything that I've heard, like, I was expecting, you know, basically what you asked, like, where does Woody come in? And it doesn't seem like he's involved at all. Look, if he comes back, because I think his, I mean, I don't know shit about how politics works in terms of, you know, someone's tenure as a, what is he, like a diplomat to the United Kingdom or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know his position, you know, with the Trump administration. Who the hell knows? So I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about that, but it just doesn't sound like he's coming back. And if he is in like a major role, I mean, I think what I did hear is Christopher Johnson is still going to have, if not like majority of say, like a large, you know, role with the Jets going forward. So I don't think it's something where Woody comes in, kicks Chris out of his office, changes the keys, and, you know, Christopher Johnson's out there like watching from the stands anymore. I think this is kind of Christopher's role going forward, and Woody will just have somewhat of an input. You know, I know we're kind of all waiting for Woody to come back and, you know, go rogue and fire everybody and go hire somebody. But so far, it doesn't seem like that's the case. And we're, you know, what, 8 days away from another Jets coaching search.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Nick, the two big subjects surrounding the Jets right now are what's going to happen with the coaching search and what is going to happen at quarterback. As far as Sam Darnold goes, from your report, it appears that there are three letters that sum up his future here with the Jets. TBD.
Yeah, I think anything you hear otherwise is complete speculation, right? Like, because you're about to have Joe Douglas, who didn't draft Sam Darnold. Granted, he took the job mainly because of Darnold 2 years ago and, you know, the cap room and draft picks at the time. But again, his name isn't on that card. It's Mike Maccagnan. And it's Adam Gase, who he didn't hire. Granted, you know, everybody wants to believe that Gase, you know, he came here because of Gase, which was never the case. Douglas came here because it was a great opportunity to work in New York, New Jersey with a young quarterback who everybody at the time really liked and everybody still likes, but they just are, you know, they think the best option for the team going forward is to move on, probably for both parties, to be honest. But I think anything saying he's gone or he's back 100% is pure speculation. I mean, you're about to hire a head coach and it's one of the biggest hires that they're going to make in a long time. If you put a stamp on it that says, okay, we're going to hire you only if you take Sam Darnold, then you're really asking for trouble, and you're going to start to have, you know, you can even cross off the top, you know, offensive coordinators off the list, and then you'll be kind of like looking for the desperate hires like Marvin Lewis's or Leslie Frazier's, or kind of just retreads who are, you know, like begging to get back in the league, right? You know, so if you put a, you know, an ultimatum that Darnold has to come back, you're really cutting to slim pickings here. So it's going to be up to a group decision. You know, I'm sure that's going to be the number one interview question is, okay, well, we don't have Trevor Lawrence, but we do have the number two pick. We have Zach Wilson out of BYU. We have Justin Fields out of Ohio State. We have this kid, Sam Darnold, who, you know, let's be honest, has been terrible, you know, his first 3 years here. Or, you know, we can go in the trade market and look for like a Carson Wentz or Matt Stafford. What would you do? You know, that's, you know, basically interview question number one, and we'll see what the candidates say from there. So it's to have 100% on he's gone or 100% on he's back. It's just pure speculation. It's not true at this point.
If the Jets don't get the quarterback situation right or the head coaching situation right, they are going to be in a world of hurt. And you might be in a world of hurt due to somebody else's negligence. And if that's the case, you want to make sure that you have a strong legal team fighting for you so you receive full compensation for your injuries. You want to be able to call your legal team whenever you want. You don't want your file to be on a shelf with hundreds of others, and you don't want your lawyers to be afraid to go to court. Here's what you do want. The legal team at Faruqi and Faruqi, they give every client their personal cell phone number to call 24/7. They limit the number of clients they represent at one time so as to give you due personal attention. And they've got a long track record of taking on insurance companies, corporations, and the government in court. Best part of all, though, they've got a long track record of winning. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome. Learn more about them by going to nylegalteam.com. That's nylegalteam.com. And like I said, Nick, they have got to get this right as far as the quarterback goes and as far as the head coaching search goes. The quarterback will come later because we've got free agency, we've got the draft, there's potential trades. The Jets will have to decide what they want to do with Darnold or if they want to move on. But that's coming after the coaching search. We talked a little bit before about the fact that Adam Gase is definitely not going to be here. Now, I had said that if the Jets were that stupid, it would be mind-boggling because we can make all the jokes we want. But the reality is they have to know that if they brought Gase back here, there would be about 30,000 cancellations of season tickets. So they were going to move on, and I'm glad that you finally have confirmation that they are going to move on after the Patriots game. But where they go is interesting. The last time you were on the show, you said that Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach at Northwestern, was somebody that they were doing due diligence on, and that he could very well be the top candidate on their list. Whether or not he's willing to take an interview, we'll see. There's always going to be speculation about Jim Harbaugh, although it looks like he may sign an extension with Michigan. But who knows? It hasn't gotten done yet. Anything can happen. There's been the Matt Campbell whispers, and then you've got the coordinators. We saw the report by Ian Rappaport at NFL Network the other day saying that Wink Martindale is going to be in play for some teams, specifically mentioned the Jets, and he pinpointed a couple of guys that Martindale might hire as part of his staff. Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator at Clemson, and then for defensive coordinator, Marvin Lewis or Lovie Smith. That seems pretty impressive to me, in addition to the fact that Wink Martindale last year had identified Joe Brady as somebody that he wanted to bring with him. So that's somebody that appears to be well-connected, well-liked, has relationships, and understands the right way to build the staff so that he can be a CEO. I know he's a defensive guy, so some Jets fans wouldn't love that, but it's interesting. Another interesting guy is somebody within the division, Brian Daboll, because of the work he's done with Josh Allen. A lot of people like him. But then we hear some other rumors involving other teams and guys that may be off the board for the Jets right away. Robert Saleh seems to be destined to go back home to Detroit. Eric Bieniemy seems to be destined to go to Houston. And now we're hearing some buzz about Urban Meyer coming out of retirement and possibly going to Jacksonville to coach Trevor Lawrence. What are you hearing on this around the league. Who are some candidates that you've heard connected to specific jobs? And are there any guys that you're almost positive are going to at least get interviews with the Jets?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head pretty good, man. That was a nice rundown. I think Wink Martindale is somebody who's definitely going to get an interview. I think Brian Daboll is definitely going to get an interview. I'm pretty sure the Jets are one of the teams that have done homework on Joe Brady, as you mentioned. So those guys will definitely get interviews. I think Marvin Lewis will get an interview. I know many people don't want to hear that, but there is a history with, you know, Joe Douglas from the Ravens days, and Marvin Lewis is somebody that not only is well respected around the league by coaches and scouts, but he's also somebody who the board of advisors is really pushing for a job. And I know Jim Caldwell interviewed last time around. I'm not sure if he'll be on the list here, but you know, I think, you know, the top names, there's one name that keeps coming up, and you know, I think it's probably more realistic that this Chiefs assistant coach gets hired here by the Jets than the other, and that's Mike Kafka. He's somebody who I can definitely see not only getting an interview, but being maybe one of the, I don't want to say front runners, because I don't know for sure. You know, I'm not like reporting it or anything, but it's somebody that I have heard kind of linked to Douglas and the Jets job for a while now. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is more of a potential candidate than Eric Bieniemy is here for whatever reason, you know, whether it's his, you know, his history back in Colorado, or, you know, the interview just didn't go well. Him and the Jets, I don't see happening at all. To me, Wink Martindale will probably be a top candidate here, but I don't, you know, every time I bring him up, you know, because I'm expecting to hear him as, like, it just makes so much sense, right? Because he was the favorite for the Giants job, and they basically offered him the job until, like, last minute they ran to Joe Judge. Like, he was going to get the Giant job last year. So I expect that, you know, I'm sure he's comfortable with New York. I'm sure he's comfortable with Douglas. Gets his shot to pick his own quarterback, probably. And the defense has some pieces that I'm sure will rally around him. You know, maybe he's connected with Matthew Judon in free agency, who comes along with him. You know, similar to like what Rex did when he brought, you know, Jimmy Leonard, Bart Scott, you know, his guys, you know, Ravens coaches like that. You know, good defensive coaches seem to, you know, find that two or three guys who they bring along to pretty basically be coaches on the field and, you know, teach the guys the new system. But so I wouldn't be surprised if Martindale's one of the, you know, final three, let's call it. But every time I like ask about it, just it doesn't seem like he's, maybe it's the older defensive minded guy, and that kind of doesn't line up with what Douglas wants to do. But every time I do ask about it, it's just, they're like, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's more of a probably not kind of thing, you know, but every time I ask two or three different people, and they all say, yeah, they'll definitely be interested in him, but I don't know if he'll be ultimately the guy they go with. But I mean, all it takes is a great interview. And like you said, lining up an impressive staff goes a long way, you know? So if they interview Marvin Lewis and they really like him, but don't know if, you know, going with an older guy like him, a retread, let's call him. But if Martindale comes in and says, hey, this guy's going to be my coordinator, you know, maybe Martindale will be able to win you over with the young offensive minded coordinator who's going to basically be your quarterback guru. And then you have a guy like Marvin Lewis, you know, he comes in and is the older statesman, you know, as a coordinator. Maybe that's enough to convince Douglas. But ultimately it comes down to like the interviews, right? You know, basically Adam Gase sold Christopher Johnson a bill of goods, and he ended up with the job thanks to him and Peyton Manning. But I think like you hit the nail on the head. Like, we all know the candidates. We've been looking since, you know, last year, to be honest. Like, you know, the Bieniemy, like you said, it's either, I think he ends up with the Texans or the Falcons. Robert Saleh seems, like you said, destined for Detroit. Looks like Matt Nagy's going to keep his job, which is huge, because the Bears are one of those traditional franchises. You know, they're a coveted job, you know, regardless of how kind of average to bad the team has been the past decade, and who knows what they have at quarterback. They got kind of an aging roster. You know, the roster might not be as attractive as some other, or the opportunity to fix the roster might not be as big as it is in, say, New York or Jacksonville. But I don't, and the Urban Meyer thing, I don't know. I just don't. I think he's just flirting again, just kind of getting his name back out there. Like, do you really want to go? Is Urban, you know, like the Billy Madison, you know, what's his 5-year plan? Is he like, I'm not Billy Madison, Big Daddy. Like, what's his 5-year plan, Urban Meyer? Like, is he going to be the guy to, like, go with Trevor Lawrence for the next decade in Jacksonville? Or do they just want to, like, you know, Urban Meyer's going to come in and he's going to hire a young hotshot coordinator and that guy's going to take over? Like, I don't know. Like, what's the end game there? I'm sure he'll get a look. I don't know if the Jets make sense for both parts. I don't know if the Jets make sense to him and he makes sense to the Jets. Like, I don't see that happening, especially without Lawrence. I'm sure he has somewhat of an interest in the Jacksonville job with Lawrence now, but, you know, they're patient owners there, but I mean, who knows? I don't know anything about what's going on in Jacksonville. And I'm sure if I think hard enough, I can come up with some other sleeper candidates. I mean, I mentioned Kafka that I think will definitely get an interview. There'll be some names that pop up and you're like, wow, really? But you know, at the end of the day, like, you got to watch Doug Peterson. I mean, I know you're not a fan, and I know many people listening aren't a big fan, especially what's going on with Carson Wentz and now with Jalen Hurts. It's like, well, why didn't you do this 6 weeks ago? Maybe we'd win this shitty division. The Jets are, you know, him and the Jets are going to be linked just because of, again, the relationship. A Super Bowl winning head coach just, what, 3 years ago, you know, success, even though they had a bad year this year, he's been in the playoffs almost every year. Probably way too similar to, like, Gase right now to kind of go down that road for us as fans listening and, you know, watching. But he's definitely someone who, if he does get fired or if they do move on, I'm sure he'll have an interview and he'll be like a top candidate too. But you know, outside of that, I think we kind of, you know, you hit on the coordinator position, which it seems like now that, again, I hate to bring it up, but now that Lawrence is out of the picture, the possibility of a Matt Campbell is a lot lower than it was 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I'm sure the Pat Fitzgerald one is now a extreme long shot, but, and if that Bears job doesn't open up, Fitzgerald probably stays in school and waits for that one to open up, because I'm not so sure he'll be much of a real candidate for the Jets. But, you know, it's funny that since, you know, we at U Stadium brought up Pat Fitzgerald's name a few weeks ago, then he started coming out into the mainstream, oh, he'll be interested in this job and the Bear job, and, you know, he was a hot name all of a sudden. So, not to toot our own horn, but why not?
Nick, you don't have to toot your own horn, but I'll toot it for you. Toot, toot! I love U Stadium. Everybody should be signed up there. If you're not already and you're a football fan, you're really missing out. Nick Spano, CEO of U Stadium. As always, I love it when you come on and drop these information nuggets on us. Really appreciate it. For those that haven't signed up for U Stadium yet, let them know what they're in for when they sign up.
Yeah, man, it's basically just a platform for fans who just want to talk all things football, like, you know, filtered from interest, whether it's the NFL draft or fantasy gambling or down to your favorite team. There's, you know, pages and different signups you can go through and just talk with like-minded fans and play in our game polls and trivia polls every week for points that you can redeem for like jerseys, video games, t-shirts, gift cards, etc. Little gamified social media experience. So definitely a fun experience for football fans. Turn on the push notifications. We push out breaking news, rumors, content all the time. And unlike other platforms that do these push notifications, you can actually open them and just hop into a conversation with fans. It's, you know, not like a message board. It's more of a live, flowing Twitter, Reddit feel. So definitely download the app, turn on notifications, and you'll see me on there. I don't tweet anymore. It's been a very enlightening and very uplifting delete of my Twitter. I got to say, I do pop on U Stadium every once in a while, and I'm sure you can tell when it's me. but not having that personal Twitter has definitely been refreshing. So you can see me on there, though. I'm always on your stadium.
I can definitely tell when it's you, Nick. I think most people can as well. But I'm glad that now that you've given up your personal Twitter, you come on here instead to give information about the Jets and to give your opinions as well. So we're blessed to have that here on the show instead of on Twitter. But you do pop in every once in a while on the U Stadium account at U Stadium. So you can find Nick there occasionally, but some great football information there. And more importantly, great football information on the U Stadium app. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.